It's December the 18th. Let's read the Bible. Welcome back, friends, to this year-long journey. We hopped on the Bible bus in January. Here we are. We are closing in on Christmas, closing in on New Year's Eve. We are not that far away. In fact, we are very, very close. Anyway, from Genesis to Revelation in just 1 year, thank you so much. A reminder, you can help us. It does matter in these closing days. If you will like these videos every single day on Facebook and on YouTube and on Rumble, click that like button. That matters. And if you will go ahead and sign up for the subscribe to the Keep Believing YouTube channel, we now have over 3,500. Looked the other day, 3,503, I think is what we have now. So fantastic. Been tremendous growth and over 250,000 visits to our website, to our YouTube channel. Just this year, that's and fantastic. Nearly all of it is because of the Let's Read the Bible. So thank you so much. You can help us that way. Got a note. A friend told me about Valerie. Hi, Valerie. She is up in her 80s somewhere, maybe somewhere. And she's in a senior living home. And she's a Christian and loves the Lord. And I know that her health is not real good right now, but Valerie discovered Let's Read the Bible videos. And she, just the last month or so, she's been watching, or 2 months, she's been watching those videos, and she's been telling her friends at the Senior Living Center all about it and recruiting her friends. So, Valerie, God bless you. We love you. Thank you for hopping on the Bible bus with us. Now, today, December the 18th, the book of Haggai, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. We are so near the end of the Old Testament. The year is 520 BC. Who's Haggai? He was God's foreman. He was a prophet of God who prophesied. You know, we talked about Zephaniah. He prophesied what did I say, 630, 635 BC. So now we are almost a whole century later. The Babylonians have come. They conquered Jerusalem. They took the Jews to Babylon. They destroyed the city. The Jews were in captivity for 70 years. And then in the year 538 BC, after Babylon had fallen, you can read about that in Daniel chapter 5, after Belshazzar died, remember the story of the handwriting on the wall? We talked about that. We were in the book of Daniel. 538 BC, Cyrus, king of Persia, he allowed the first group of Jews to go back home from Babylon over here, heart of darkness, to Jerusalem, which was in ruins, but it didn't matter. The Jewish people were coming home. And in their joy and excitement, and we talked about this when we read the book of Ezra, they laid the foundation of the temple of God. And they were going to get started, and they got started, and they were going to rebuild the temple of God. You remember in Ezra 3, there's that heartbreaking scene where the old men and women, the older ones, my age group, who were old enough to remember the glories of Solomon's temple, when they saw how small that rebuilt temple is going to be, which is going to be a shadow of what Solomon's temple was, they wept. But the young ones who didn't remember Solomon's temple, they shouted with joy. They laid the foundation, and that was in about 536 BC. And then opposition came, and the people got busy, and they started building their own homes. And they laid the foundation, and they didn't do anything else. They built their own fancy paneled homes, so to speak. You know, the real nice homes, like the nice suburban homes, the you know, big ranch-style home, or a home with a two or three stories and big basement, swimming pool. I mean, like that, back the equivalent of that back then. They built their nice homes. They protected themselves, but they let God's work ruin. And because they had neglected God's work, they started it, but they didn't finish it. It's now 16 years later. It's 520 BC. This is a case where we actually know, because the dates are given in the book. What we have here are four messages to God's discouraged people. Yes, they had become indifferent. Yes, they had gotten their priorities mixed up, but it could have happened to you or me. They were discouraged. They wanted to finish the temple, but now there are weeds growing up around the foundation that they had laid with so much hope and so much joy. So here comes Haggai, God's foreman. Two chapters. That's all that's in this book. This is what he's going to say. Message number one, conviction. Message number two, courage. Message number three, cleanliness. Message number four, consummation. Conviction, courage, cleanliness, and consummation. Number one is conviction. You people are suffering because you have built your own homes, but you've let God's house, you built the foundation and let the rest of it stay in ruins. Message number two is courage. Get up. God's called you. Don't worry about the opposition. Get up and do it. Cleanliness. Your hands are dirty because of your compromise. Clean up your act. Message number four. There is coming a greater glory to this temple. In the temple you're going to build, there's going to be a greater glory in it than Solomon ever knew about. And there's a Christmas verse here. So, Lord, speak to us as we read and study. Speak to us from this beautiful little book of Haggai. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 1. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. The Lord of armies says this, "These people say, the time has not come for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt." The word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. "Is it a time for you yourselves to live in your paneled houses while this house lies in ruins? Now the Lord of armies says, think carefully about your ways. You have planted much, but harvested little. You eat, but never have enough to be satisfied. You drink, but never have enough to be happy. You put on clothes, but never have enough to get warm. The wage earner puts his wages into a bag with a hole in it." The Lord of armies says this, "Think carefully about your ways. Go up into the hills, bring down lumber, and build the house, and I will be pleased with it and be glorified, says the Lord. You expected much, but then it amounted to little. When you brought the harvest to your house, I ruined it." Why? This is the declaration of the Lord of armies, because my house still lies in ruins. While each of you is busy with his own house, so on your account, the skies have withheld the dew and the land its crops. I have summoned the drought on the fields and the hills, on the grain, new wine, fresh oil, whatever the ground yields, on people and animals, and on all that your hands produce. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, the high priest, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the entire remnant of the people obeyed the Lord their God and the words of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord their God had sent him. So the people feared the Lord. Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, delivered the Lord's message to the people. "I am with you. This is the Lord's declaration." The Lord roused the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, the spirit of the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people. They began to work on the house of the Lord of armies, their God, on the 24th day of the sixth month in the second year of King Darius. Now, Haggai chapter 2. Remember these messages: conviction, courage, cleanliness, consummation. Verse 1. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, "Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to the high priest Joshua, son of Jehozadak, and to the remnant of the people. Who is left among you who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Doesn't it seem to you like nothing by comparison? Even so, be strong, Zerubbabel. This is the Lord's declaration. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land. This is the Lord's declaration. Work, for I am with you. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. This is the promise I made to you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit is present among you. Don't be afraid. For the Lord of armies says, once more, in a little while, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that the treasures of all the nations will come and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of armies. The silver and gold belong to me. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. The final glory of this house will be greater than the first, says the Lord of armies. I will provide peace in this place. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. So, chapter 1 was the first message. Conviction. How can you sit there? How can you sit there with this house not built? And no wonder your bags, you put your money, you put your money in your bags and it's got holes in it. You're making money, but you're losing more than you're making, and you're starving, and you don't have enough to eat and drink. You've left God's house. That's the first message. The second one we've just read, it's courage. It's courage. The final glory of this house, I'll tell you about that, will be greater than the first, and I will provide peace in this place. Now, here we come. Third message. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai. This is what the Lord of armies says. Ask the priest for a ruling. If a man is carrying consecrated meat in the fold of his garment, and it touches bread, stew, wine, oil, or any other food, does it become holy? The priest answered, no. Correct. Verse 13, then Haggai asked, if someone is defiled by contact with a corpse and touches any of these, does it become defiled? The priest answers, it becomes defiled. Then Haggai said, now I just got to stop here. Pardon me, just got to stop here. The whole point is, holiness is not transferable in the same way that unholiness is. Sin is so easily spread. Uncleanness is so easily spread. Compromise is so easily spread. Verse 14, then Haggai replied, so is this people and this nation is before me. This is the Lord's declaration, and so is every work of their hands. Even what they offer there is defiled. Now from this day on, think carefully. Before one stone was placed on another in the Lord's temple, what state were you in? When someone came to a grain heap of 20 measures, it only amounted to 10. When one came to the wine press to dip 50 measures from the vat, it only amounted to 20. I struck you, all the work of your hands, with blight, mildew, and hail, but you didn't turn to me. This is the Lord's declaration. From this day on, think carefully. From the 24th day of the ninth month, from the day the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid, think carefully. Is there still seed left in the granary? The vine, the fig, the pomegranate, and the olive tree have not yet produced, but from this day on, I will bless you. Get busy doing God's work. You take care of God's work, and God will himself take care of you. Here we come. Final message. End of this short little book. Where the Lord came to Haggai a second time on the 24th day of the month. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah. I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overturn royal thrones and destroy the power of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overturn chariots and their riders. Horses and their riders will fall, each by his brother's sword. On that day, this is the declaration of the Lord of armies. I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. This is the Lord's declaration, and make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you. This is the declaration of the Lord of armies. You say, that's pretty short. He said everything that needed to be said. Four short messages between August and December of 520 BC. The first one was conviction. Get up. You are suffering because you've neglected God's house. The second is courage. Don't be afraid. Don't give up. Don't despair. Just get started and do God's work. And number three is cleanliness. Understand, as long as you delay in serving the Lord, my blessing is going to be withheld from you. But all you got to do is start serving me and obeying me, and blessings will come from heaven. And the final one is consummation, that to Zerubbabel, who may have been a little bit worried and a little bit fearful, God is saying, you're my man. You are. Zerubbabel was the leader of the people as they came back from Babylon, and God is saying, it's been hard, but I am with you. Don't be afraid to serve me. Let me come back. Did you get the Christmas reference there? Verse 6, for the Lord of armies says this, once more in a little while, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all the nations so that, and here it is, My version says, the treasures of all the nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory. And the first part of that, once more in a little while, ding, ding, ding. Do you remember when we read the book of Hebrews? Not that many weeks ago, we read Hebrews, came to chapter 12. At the very end of chapter 12, the writer of Hebrews quotes Haggai chapter 2. One more time, God is going to shake the heavens and the earth. That's a reference to the shaking of the heavens and the earth when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. But now, let me go to the King James Version. Here we go. This will make it a little bit clearer. Verse 7, King James Version, and I will shake all the nations, and the desire of all nations shall come. Now, actually, this is a Hebrew word, and it's perfectly fine to translate it as the desirable things, the treasures of all nations, but it's perfectly fine to translate it the way the King James did, the desire of all nations. So the year was 1739, and a man by the name of Charles Wesley, his brother, of course, was John Wesley. Together, they were the founders of the great Methodist movement, and he wrote what is one of the most beloved Christmas carols. You've probably already sung it this Christmas season, though we don't often sing this verse. And this verse comes, at least the first line of it, comes directly from Haggai chapter 2. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. Rise, the woman's conquering seed. Bruise in us the serpent's head. Adam's likeness now efface. Stamp thine image in its place. Final Adam from above, reinstate us in thy love. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. You know, there's a reason the birth of Christ is here, because Jesus is the theme of the Bible. He is the theme of the Bible. He's the purpose of the Bible. He's the goal of the Bible, to show us that in this broken world and in our darkness, Jesus will come. God will send his Son to be our Savior. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to the newborn King. And that first line will end right here. Come, desire of nations, come. Truly, he is the one desired by all the nations, all the people groups, all the languages, all the cultures. Come, desire of nations, come. Fix in us thy humble home. So we pray. Lord, make my heart a manger where the Christ child may be born. That's a good prayer for us today, isn't it? Lord God, make my heart a manger where the Christ child may be born. Come, Lord Jesus, into my heart, into my heart. Hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. How about that? We got God's foreman telling the people, get up and, before I finish, I got to say this. The final glory of this house will be greater than the first. What could be greater than Solomon's temple? Well, this little, unimpressive, small little thing that they built in Jerusalem. I mean, it really was small. A fellow by the name of Herod. Herod came along. He's a great builder. Herod the Great was a great builder. And in his day, that temple was built and built, became the great second temple. But it was built. It was the expansion of the temple that was started by Zerubbabel. Who walked in this temple in the latter days? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the glory of God. Jesus, don't you see how it all comes together? The final glory of this house will be greater than Solomon's temple. Wouldn't have believed it in that day, but God always intended that his son would walk in that temple. So the greatness of God's plan, glory to the newborn king. Go out and have a great, great, God-blessed day, and sing a couple of verses of Hark the Herald Angels Sing while you're at it. And if you can remember, sing this one. Come, desire of nations, come. I'm done, friends. I love this. God bless you. Come back tomorrow. What are we doing? We're doing Zechariah. 3 days in Zechariah. Going to be amazing. See you then.